got some scriptures I want to read to you tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And that song there that we just finished singing just fits right into it. In the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning in verse 6, and my message tonight is goodbye down here, hello up there. Listen at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and excellent and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, the guarantee of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You've heard of that one a lot, haven't you? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Some of the water runs down a wrong pipe. Well, it needed cleaning anyway. Years ago, on Friday, January the 5th, 1979, California time, 2 o'clock in the morning, my telephone rang. It was a telephone call from my mother to tell me that my daddy had died. He was 80 years old. He had lung congestion. He'd been sick. He was breathing real loud and heavy. You know what I'm talking about. When Mama put him to bed that Thursday evening, he slept in the same room that she was in, but it was on a special bed that they had for him. And sometime during the night, my mother woke up to complete silence. I mean, there wasn't even a cricket of cricketing. And she couldn't hear him breathing. So she got up out of her bed to check on him. But the angels had gotten there first, and they'd taken him to heaven. He just died in his sleep. I got us airline tickets early that morning on American Airlines. We flew to Dallas for his funeral. The airlines lost our luggage. All we had when we got there is just what casual clothing we'd worn on our backs. It was January. Dallas had a terrible ice storm. Ice everywhere, breaking the limbs off the trees, breaking the electric lines. Ice everywhere, 3 inches deep on the roadways. The pilot of our plane told us over the speaker that we might have to land the plane in El Paso and bus us all the way from El Paso to Dallas on icy roads. You must be kidding. He said the landing strip at the Dallas airport was iced over, and he didn't dare try to bring that plane in and try to land on ice. And it was cold. But you know, God was with us. The sun began to shine. By the time we got to Dallas, we were able to land the plane at the Dallas airport. Two of my brothers met us at the airport, but driving down the streets and the highways in town was something else. We had his funeral at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon, January the 7th. It was not very well attended because so many of the kinfolks and friends who lived out of town couldn't get in on the icy roads. Some of the highways were even closed. But we had a nice funeral service for Dad at Calvary Baptist Church, where he and his family had been members for 31 years. Our pastor, Dr. Oldham, asked me if I wanted to handle the service. And I told him, I said, no, I don't think I could emotionally do it. So he went ahead and did a real good job. Then we got in the hearse and the other cars and made it out to the Grand Prairie Cemetery, where we laid his body there in the cold, cold ground to sleep until Resurrection Day. Before Dad died, he'd been an invalid for about 7 years. My mother had taken care of him like he was a baby all that time. So it was a blessing, a two-way blessing. He got to go to heaven, and my mother had that big burden of responsibility lifted from her shoulders, and God gave her strength and peace. I wrote a song about that after I got back home, and I've already got my guitar out here. If y'all don't mind, I'd just like to share it with you. I named it The Pew in Church Where Daddy Sat. He sat in the same place, just like you do. I can look out across the congregation. I can tell who's present. I can also tell who's absent because I know where they sit. It was that way back then, too. I remember the church where Daddy wept. Each Sunday he was there. Next to the aisle, the third row back, that was his place of prayer. It was in that pew that Daddy heard the preacher preach the word. He knelt at the altar at Jesus' feet and gave his heart to God. Yes, he used to sit by Mama's side. Faithful to that pew. His family joined him there. But we grew up and moved away. Dad's pew was almost bare. On special days when we came home, we'd fill that pew once more. He'd sit there proud, so tall and strong, when we walked through the door. Yes, he used to sit by Mama's side. Now Mama sits alone. Since God gave him a throne, I miss that church where Daddy went. It's changed since he's not there. His spirit fills that empty pew in God's holy house. When my time on earth is done and Jesus calls me home, I'll meet my daddy once again around that great as he used to sit by Mama's side. Now Mama sits alone, for Daddy's pew is empty now, since God gave him a throne. Years passed by, and then about 10 p.m. on a Wednesday evening, April the 27th, 1994, I received another telephone call. This one was from my brother in Grand Prairie, Texas, said that our mother had died about 9:30 that evening. She had a heart attack. She was 90 years old. She'd gotten up that morning, fixed her breakfast, made her bed, cleaned the kitchen, and finally sat down to watch the Dallas Cowboys play a ball game. That was her favorite team. About 5 o'clock that evening, she made a telephone call to my brother Bill over in Arlington, not very far away. She said, "Bill, come over. I think I might be having a heart attack." And Bill immediately came over there and drove her out to Arlington Memorial Hospital. They rushed her into the room. The boys stayed outside. And she was in there with a doctor, 2 nurses ministering to her. After a little while, the doctor stepped out, told them, "She's gone." It was like she'd just gone to sleep, laying right there on the hospital bed. Now, I'm way off out here. I had had major surgery 22 days before. Hadn't been out of the hospital very long. That was on Tuesday, April the 5th. I still had a 3-foot drainage tube in my belly. But again, we made that emergency flight on American Airlines on April the 28th back to Dallas, to my mother's funeral. Her room at the mortuary was so full of flowers that there was hardly room for her to be in there. People could go in just kind of one at a time. I was amazed. But she had worshiped and worked and served at Calvary Baptist Church there for 46 years. And her pastor, Dr. Oldham, had died just a few weeks before she did. He died on March the 9th. And their new pastor, Dr. Wendell Ayers, preached her funeral service. And again, we made our trip to the cemetery where she was laid to rest beside Dad. They share a common headstone. I wrote another song, but I never did get a tune to it. And I call this one, "I Wasn't There When Mama Died." And it goes something like this. "I wasn't there when Mother died. I was so many miles away. I didn't get to hold her hand and plead with her, 'Please stay.' So many things were left unsaid. No chance to say, Mom, I love you. No chance to call and talk to her. But something tells me that she knew. She cooked and cleaned and cared so much. She was always there for me. But when it came her time to go, God heard her cry and set her free. Our days go by in disarray. We take our life for granted. Then we look back with sad regret and reap what we have planted. No, I wasn't there when Mother died. I was so many miles away, I didn't get to hold her hand and plead with her, please stay. My mother and dad were both saved during a revival meeting at the Baptist Church in the community of Hainesville in Wood County, down in East Texas, back in the summer of 1934, a long time ago. Those were Depression days, and people needed the Lord. I was just an 8-year-old boy at the time, but I can remember being down there at Patton's Creek when they were baptized by their pastor, Brother Vermilion. His name was. I myself was saved there at the same church 6 years later in 1940 when I was 14. And I was baptized at the same place. On Monday, February the 1st, 2010, I received another telephone call from all three of my brothers who said that our youngest brother, Charles, was dying. And they said, if you want to see him again, you'd best come right away. So early that Tuesday morning, I made another flight into Dallas. You see, Charles was the youngest of our five boys. He was born in 1942, the year I graduated from high school. World War II was on, and just as soon as I turned 18, I was in the service. So I didn't really get to spend much time with him as he was growing up. But I was his hero, and he was proud of me. Always was. Made a mark on him when he saw me in my Navy uniform. While I was overseas, my mother would send me pictures of him as he was growing up. And then right after the war was over, I was discharged. Rita and I got married and moved to Dallas. Dad and Mom finally moved to Grand Prairie, so we were fairly close. But now it's 2010 and Charles is dying. My brother Tommy picked me up at the airport in Dallas, and we drove out to Charles' home in Garland, right outside of Dallas. Charles was already on his way out. I went to his bedside and talked to him, but to this day, I don't know whether he was conscious enough to realize that I was there or not. But again, the angels visited him about 11:10 the next morning, February the 3rd, and he went to be with the Lord. Early February is still winter time in Texas, and it was cold. Very cold. Charles and his wife Sandy had ministered for about 19 years. In a rest home there in Garland. They were singing and preaching. And we had his funeral at his church, the Lavon Drive Baptist Church in Garland. And then he was taken over to a little place called, little town called Rockwall, there very near, and that's where he was buried. Well, he had his funeral there at the church. And to show you how much he was loved and appreciated, there were over 300 people out there at 10 o'clock on a Saturday, a cold Saturday morning, for his funeral service. 52 of them were Wetzels. And I was the senior one of the 52. I was the oldest banana on the bunch. Now I want to tell you what I think happened. My knowledge of the scripture and of the Lord playing a large part in this. My dad had gone on before to blaze the trail, so to speak, to pave the way. When he got to glory, he had a wonderful time of reunion with his father and mother and brothers and sisters who had preceded him, and all of the friends. And he got to know the place pretty well. Then one day, 15 years later, and time passes fast in heaven, you know, he looked up, and there was his wife of 59 years. They'd been married in 1920. She was standing there before him. And I can just imagine the joy of both of them as they were reunited after 15 years absence. So Daddy got to show her around, and it wasn't long before they both felt comfortable and at home in their new surroundings. They had the fellowship of hundreds of people that they'd known on earth, as well as a generation or so of family that they hadn't seen in a long, long time. And of course, they were both with Jesus. Now, I'm not sure just how much the saints in heaven, in their spiritual bodies, know about the activities of us people back here on the earth who are still alive in the flesh. But I imagine that one day, Mom and Dad were out walking, looking at the beautiful sights in heaven, and they saw a very familiar figure come walking through those golden gates. And they recognized their younger child, Charles. Charles was 67 when he died. Daddy hadn't seen him for 31 years, and Mama hadn't seen him for 16. And I have an idea that when Charles saw them, that he started running, and they met. And they hugged, and all three of them were talking at the same time. And then I believe Mama said, "Charles, come on, we want you to meet someone." And suddenly they found themselves in the presence of Jesus. Charles needed no introduction. He immediately knew who he was. Why, he had known him and served him on this earth for nearly 60 years. And now he's seeing his Lord face to face in glory. And I believe that today those three never get out of sight of that front gate. They watch it day and night because they have four more sons who's going to be entering through that golden gate one of these days. And they want to be there to welcome them when they walk through the gate. Won't it be wonderful when we reach that place of such joy and peace, where there'll be no sin, no sorrow, no pain, no sickness, no death? The Apostle Paul. I love to read after Paul because Paul had been there. He had seen it. He was an eyewitness of the glories of heaven. And God let him come back and finish his ministry. But he told him, Paul, don't spend your time telling people how wonderful heaven is. Just tell them how to get here. And that's what Paul did. God did let him write these words in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Going back to the text we read there, when our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. And we shall be like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. Just think, God made all this possible when he sent his only begotten Son down into this world to become a sacrifice for the sins of this world, to become our personal Savior. Then he rose from the dead, and because he lives, we shall live also. I hope when I get to glory, my daddy will recognize me. I've put on a little weight since I saw him last. And by the way, I'm 8 years older than he is. Isn't that something? When you get 8 years older than your daddy? Wow! Last time he saw me, I was just a young guy, I was just 53 years old. That sounds young when you're my age. You and I should be thankful that God loved us while we were yet sinners, and that God saved us when we called on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be thankful that when we depart this world, we will immediately be ushered into his presence in heaven. You can't get there by keeping the law. You can't get there by trying your best to be a good person, doing the best you can. You can't get there by being baptized or joining the church or anything like that. The way to heaven is by a person, and it's by Jesus Christ. There's nobody else in the whole universe but Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he tells us that no man can come to the Father but by him. He is the way. He is the only way. And then he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he's the only door. I can remember years ago when some of you were just little kids about this high. You learned to sing a little song. One door and only one. And yet its sides are two. Inside and outside. On which side are you? Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Appreciate you listening to us tonight. Hope that we said something that'll bring joy to your heart. Heavenly Father, it's wonderful for us to be able to come into your presence at any time of the day or night. We thank you that you've made it possible for us to come, as the scripture tells us, boldly into your presence before your throne. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the fellowship that we have with you when we commune with you, yes, through your word, by the Holy Spirit, and through the avenue of prayer. And Father, tonight I have spoken, I believe, to a group of people who know you, who love you, and who are serving you. Lord, as many days as you give us on this earth, help us to be diligent in our service to you. We pray for those who are sick of our congregation, so sick that they cannot physically attend our church services. Lord, be with them in a special way. And let your grace and mercy be of great abundance in their lives. And for these that have listened tonight, I pray that we may have said something that will enter into our hearts and stir us and bring us closer to you. Go with us now. Bless, lead, guide, and direct our lives into your service. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you.